Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. If you missed our first hour, you've got to catch it. You've got to catch it. What were you doing yesterday? You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the Extra Hour is John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
And the one, the only, unshakable,
solid,
crackpot, right?
Crackpot.
You understand that if you listen to the first hour. Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Oh. Give a shout out to all of our listeners. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Peter and Joanne and Maria and Sophia and Keichara and Juan and everybody across the world. Good morning, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Lakeland. Give a shout out to Kevin. Congratulations, Brianna. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
And the one, the only, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
It is amazing how steadfast you are. Nothing, just nothing shakes you. It's just amazing. Totally amazing. What was that sound? Get back, get back. Focus, focus.
All right.
Well, you know, I want to be able to know that, want you to know that we're going to be having the citizenship. So we're moving right along in the United States citizenship. I am so excited, right, exactly. Thank you. About the U.S. citizenship. Okay. All right. Then the citizenship test, because we want to be able to know, we're facing some times about to hit the world and hit America. And let me tell you, no matter what people say about America, the world is watching America to see what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And we have to get our act together. We have to get our act together. And of course, it starts with us turning our hearts back to God, the church. And then it's us turning our hearts back to the original purpose of the founding father in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, which declares that we're one nation under God and our rights mm-hmm. come from God. And that's tied together. And then everything progresses from that particular viewpoint. And if you missed it, you can go back and listen to, I don't know, what is the segment called on the VFN Torture Highlights for the preamble to the Constitution and the first words of the Declaration of Independence?
I will tell you briefly.
Okay. But so you can listen
we
to it.
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Yeah, it's so powerful. We need to you need to play that over and over again to get it inside of you, because then you'll realize it's not wrong, because that's our supreme law of the land, and that was the goal of our founding fathers, and they were trying to find a place where they could worship God freely and government would not intervene with their life, and they could have representative type form of government. So we'll be talking about that's coming up, our next five questions, so we're very excited about that. And also, when we think about faith, I just briefly want to mention something. I want to encourage your faith today. Faith is pretty important, because without it, you cannot even enter in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. But God has given a measure, a certain amount of faith to everybody. Everybody has an amount of faith. And in that, it's not the fact that people don't have faith. The choice is, do we choose to live by faith?
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, I don't have the faith that you have. And it's like, no, you haven't yet made the choice to live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Or we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith is, according to Hebrews 11:1, it's about a now thing. You know, now God is.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the day of salvation. He's our ever-present help in time of trouble. God is now. He's not the I was or I will be. He is the I am. And so faith exists. Do I trust God with, do I trust his grace and mercy and forgiveness for yesterday? Do I appreciate that he's got tomorrow in his hand? And can I rejoice in the fact that, like he tells us, don't worry, that he's going to take care of everything even today and provide for me? Can I trust God?
Mm-hmm.
That's faith. And faith is, we know when we're operating in faith, when God says in his word, I mean, somebody says, well, I haven't had a word from God yet. It's only because you haven't been reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard from God yet. Have you been in the word?
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's plainly written. Just read the red, you know, just read the red if you have Jesus' mm-hmm. words written in red in your Bible and find out. And so, Abraham is the father, considered the father of faith. And here he was in a dark environment, a lost world. And God just begins to speak to him. And he says, listen, I want you to get out of here, and I want you to go to a place that I will show you. So he says, basically, get up and go. Just get up and go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God has told his people. His people, he's told us to get up and go. And he says, and I will show you. And there was a process of just going, going, not waiting, doing nothing, and diving into darkness and living like the world and say, one day God. No, he was going for God, leaving everything. He left his father's house and left the way that the life was for everybody else and says, listen, I'm going to go with God. And he says, and I will show you. And so he did not yet have a picture of what tomorrow would be like. He just had confidence that God was going to bring it to pass. And so he went. And God accredited this to him in his decision as he had right standing before him. He was right because he just believed God. And the enemy today has totally begin to work away and whittle away at what faith is. And, you know, if I got faith for a car, I got faith for this, I got faith for that. How about, do you have faith enough to get thee up and go and do what God said?
Right.
And it's like, you have to understand we're creative beings and we can bring a lot of things to pass. But the question is, is God's will coming to pass in our life? And so faith is about getting up and going. And I just want to challenge you as we're talking about this, when you start writing out your New Year's resolutions, and so many people do that, make it a year. Make 2013 a year of getting up and going and believing that God is going to show you. Be, you know, be an abider. If you don't know God, you make God, you got to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. Then begin to be his disciple. And you can find out more about that at meetmyfather.org. But you also then can begin to abide with him and obey him. And just make 2013, no matter what anybody says, let it be a year that you're going to get up. You're going to get up from that lethargic state. You're going to get up from that captivity into all that virtual medias and all the things that's got a lot of people today. You're going to get up from that quagmire of saying, I can't leave this job because this is the job that I've given my life to.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, I'll just do anything and go anywhere you want me to, God. And be a year that you just go after God. Make 2013 a year of faith. A year that you're, you know, you're just going to get up and go and believe that God. And listen, this is important because understanding that when you're getting up and going, that here's Abraham got up and went, and he spent many years not seeing the manifestation of what he believed God for, but he never was shaken in his faith. That even though he saw that his body was as good as dead, he saw that his wife's womb was as good as dead, you know, it was not working anymore, they were in their 90s and all, that they still believed God was going to give them a son. And out of that son was going to come this huge lineage, which we call Israel today.
Right.
And they spent almost 100 years of their life believing God and never seeing what they believed, but they still, he did not waver in his faith and confidence that God was able to do it. And so many people, it's just like they only live in what they see, and they demand to see in your life what you're believing. And it's like, get out of my faith. If you don't have faith, get out of mine. You know,
that's so good.
You know, get out of my story. Get out of my journey. If you don't want to go, don't go. But I'm going. I'm going to get thee up, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to follow God. And God's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. And I don't care what you got to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so many people that want to live and what you're believing God for, why they criticize the journey while you're waiting for the manifestation of that which God promised you. And it's like, get your own dream. You know? Criticize your own dream. Yeah, go somewhere else. I'll be talking about my second story when God hadn't even manifested my first story yet. You know, and it's like, it's so important. So God rewarded Abraham for that, for getting up and going. And listen, so many people said, I'll go and I'll get up when God shows me what he wants me to do.
That's right.
And it's like, that's called a job. That's not faith. Faith is being sure of what you hope for now, sure of what you hope for, and certain of what you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not, you say, you know, I'll do, well, just God needs to explain it to me. Give me the pay package and the 401k and how it's all going to work out. And I'll see if it fits within my lifestyle, and I still can take care of my boat payments and stuff. And then I'll go. Then I will go for, you know, what God wants to. And it's like, that's not faith. That's religion. That's religion. It's not obeying God. And understand, no matter what people said about Abram, eventually Abraham, God was so impressed with him that he listened and obeyed, even when he didn't see the manifestation until later on in his life. And yet, even in that, he wasn't going to see all the things that we see today. And he talks about in Hebrews that He believed, but he never saw what we see today mm-hmm. in the manifestation of all of his lineage. Because he believed God, he was finally given a son, you know, Isaac. And when Isaac came, that's pretty much what he saw.
Yeah.
But out of Isaac would come Jacob, which is Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're looking at the ramifications and the blessings of one man who believed God. I mean, he believed God, and it was accredited to him for righteousness, and God took that faith and belief and began to just manifest an entire lineage for himself. And today, all the world is battling for the land that Isaac, his son, his faith, captured. A little small piece of land called Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about Joseph. Joseph believed God. He loved God. God spoke to him. He told everybody what God said, and they just abused him because he told them what God had said. That's all he did. He just shared what God shared with him, and all of a sudden, his own brothers and his own father turned against him, and he ended up in slavery. He ended up in Potiphar's house. He ended up being accused of sexual crimes, locked up in prison mm-hmm. because he raped Potiphar's wife, they said. And it was all a lie. It's all a farce. But he told them, he says, listen, listen, when God brought things full circle and he's running Egypt now and Israel's coming in and he's provided Goshen for them because God has set all that up. He said, listen, when we get out of here, I want you to take me with you. When we get out of here, it was like 400 years. You know, it's like 400 years later.
Yeah.
He's not going to see, Joseph's not going to see them, God say, hey, get out of here. I got a praise. We're going to call you out into the wilderness. Mm-hmm. But he saw it. He had faith that it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so powerful that when Israel did leave, and of course, Joseph had already passed already, they went and dug his bones up.
Yeah.
Mm. He had so much faith in what God was going to do. It was so, and just, God says, listen, I just, because you guys are a mess. You remember how Israel was, they came out in the wilderness. It wasn't because they were all righteous and stuff.
That's right.
But God was so pleased with his faith, even though he didn't see the manifestation of them coming out of the time with Egypt, but he was so impressed and so moved by a man's faith that even in his death, he put it upon the hearts of the Jews to say, let's just dig him up.
Mm.
Let's just dig him up. Listen, that word is so strong, and that vision is so strong from 400 years ago. It is so strong. We're going to have to pull this gravestone off of this grave, and we're going to have to take his bones because he's coming out. We're coming out together.
Mm.
We're coming out together. And this is how God works. This is how God works. And David, when David saw in his heart and his spirit and the visions of Jesus and all the things he talked about and what was coming and Isaiah prophesied about him. They didn't see him, but they believed him because they believed that Jesus is the lineage of David today. We got to get a place of faith again where we're believing God and we're operating by what God says and whatever timing God has, whatever he wants to do and ever how he wants to do it. We need to be unwavering in our faith that he's going to bring this thing to pass. And you have to let the people that just are naysayers that are trying to set themselves up as judges in your dream to say, listen, you need to go get your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not believing God for anything. You're watching how I believe God for what God's called me to do. If you're not part of this, you need to get yourself on down the road a little bit. Because what God has revealed to Joseph, what God has revealed, you know, to Abraham, what God has revealed to David, and over and over and over and over and over and over again, God's going to bring it to pass. Even if God's got to dig your bones up and carry them into the fulfillment while you're looking over the banister of heaven, God's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. He's not a man that he would lie or the son of man that he would promise and not fulfill what he said. All of his promises are yes in Christ Jesus. And listen, there's that just a huge demonically held captive people who call themselves believers who want to judge your faith. They don't have any. They have none.
Right.
None. None. Or they choose not to use the faith that they've been given. Maybe word. They have faith that they choose not to use it. And they're living and eating off your belief and your faith and have the nerve to say, don't go to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to Jerusalem. That's what Peter did, right?
Yeah.
Don't go to Jerusalem. And Satan grabs a hold of their tongue and begins to try to stop you and shake you in your faith. Let me tell you something. Don't be shaken in your faith. Be steadfast. And your faith and your confidence. Listen, if you don't even know what you're believing God for, you are all over the map. If you don't have a vision, you're going to perish. You're without restraint. But listen, get in God's word, and God tells us very specifically to get thee up and go, and I'll show you. I want to encourage you, as you're beginning to pen out a few things about what you would like 2013 to be about, don't make it about you. Don't make it about your fat content or your ingested content and your money content and your job. Let's make 2013 like Abraham did. Let's make it about the kingdom of God. Let's make it about going after God, having faith in God. And listen, it's okay. Tell people, listen, you got to go get your own dream. Go get your own dream. As a matter of fact, you're hampering mine. Because Jesus said to Paul, Peter, he says, this is what Jesus said to Peter. When Peter said, don't go down to Jerusalem, which was the plan of God for Jesus to go and pay the price for us. Jesus turns around and he looks at Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan, because Satan has set his tongue on fire by hell. And it was set on fire by hell. And he says, listen, this is Jesus now. Jesus said, you almost tempted me. The Son of God, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, said, because some Peter had worked his way into his vision and dream and what he was believing the Father for. And he said, listen, I don't think you should do that. You should do this. I don't think you should go now. Things are going pretty good. What do you, you know, you basically said, don't go to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said this, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will.
Mm.
See, it says very specifically in Romans chapter 3, when he's talking about the father of faith, he says, listen, Abraham was fully persuaded. You got to get fully persuaded. You know what? It gets really tiring when you're trying to fully persuade people of their own vision. It's like, don't you remember? Don't you remember your vision? It's like, oh, vision. That's right. I have one somewhere. Again, get the vision dog, kind of sniff it up a little bit here. But Abraham, very specifically, in I guess Romans chapter 4, he's called the father of faith. He says, therefore, chapter 4, verse 16, therefore the promise comes by faith. Listen, the vision is going to come to pass by faith, not because you're some, because you're smart.
Make it happen.
Because you don't have cracks, as Pat put it. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, it may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring.
Mm-hmm.
This dude is so awesome that we are, when we believe God and operate by faith, are considered his offspring.
Mm-hmm.
Is that cool or what? The offspring of faith. Not only to those who are of the law, but also of those who are faith, the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. But think about it. He's not talking just about the man, Abraham. He's talking about the man of faith, Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Faith, he had confidence and surety in God. He said, I've made you the father of many nations, as he's talking to Abraham, God was. He said, he is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they are. See, the people that live off what they see, they're constantly looking at your dream, and they're saying things about your dream because they don't see something, but they don't understand that we serve a God that calls those things that are not as though they were. So you have to believe and have faith in what God has said to you, and you got to carry it like a mother carries a child for a time of gestation before that thing will manifest on the face of the earth. And the people that begin to judge your baby and talk about your baby and criticize your baby, ain't it gonna happen right now? I don't see. It's like, what are you doing? Get your own dream. Get pregnant. Mm-hmm. What God told you. Get out of my pregnancy.
That's right.
Excuse me, I had a moment. And then 18, he says, against all hope. And this is Abraham. This is where we got to be. We got to look at all the people out there who want to give their opinion and all the sleeping church. And you got to say, against all hope. This is Abraham. And a hope is a desire with obtaining that which you desire. Against all hope. Abraham, in hope. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Abraham, against all hope. Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. And without weakening in his faith, he faced the facts. And listen, it's okay to look at your kept book. It's okay to look at your cracks. It's okay to look at the inabilities and the things that would really nullify the things that are going to happen. So, but you know what? Even though in the physical, I can't do it, even though in the natural, it doesn't look like it's going to happen, even though I don't have the finances to do it, listen, I got the dream, I got the vision, I got the word, I got the written word of God, and it's going to come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And he faced the facts that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Think about it. I mean, it's like, who's complaining at 50? Come on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Matt? Anyway, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was as good as dad. Can you imagine looking at your wife and saying, yeah, your womb is as good as dad. Like, I'm not talking to you. We're not having no children. Like, that ain't going to happen.
Right.
Facing as good as dad, that yet he did not waver. I mean, you know, there's people like, oh, will you quit trying to get me to waver? What is your job? Is your job just to try to get me to waver? What do you do? Do you live just to kind of text me or email me? Hey, I just want to know if I can get you to waiver today. And it's like, oh, Lord, please, I don't want to have to beat the rock and end up in the wilderness and die on this side of the promised land. It's like, I mean, it's going to happen with us or without us, but it's like, come on. Do you see your job is like, I just want to see if you can waiver. It's like, come on. You don't know what I'm talking about, but.
No, of course not.
Well, I know.
Yeah, he did not waver, though. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Now, you can look at other things. You're like, I don't think, you know, I'm not strong enough to lift that and don't have enough money to pay that. But you still, in the midst of all that reality, you can say, you know, but God. Mm-hmm. But God. That's why you have your vision plain. You write it plain. And if you hadn't listened to value-based vision management, you got to listen. You got to get it. You got to hear what God's saying. Write it down plain. So that people can run with it. And you're going to have to look at it because everything's going to cause you to waver. But when you pull it out and you look at it, when you open up your wallet, instead of sticking your lousy driver's license there where you see it all the time with your beautiful picture, put the vision there where you see it all the time. Keep it before you, the spotted, speckled, striped stick. Keep it there. Because you don't want to waver. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened. I mean, think about it. He was strengthened. He goes, we can't do this. That makes me more confident that God's going to have to do this and God can't do it. He was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded. Man, there's nothing more beautiful than fully persuaded people. I mean, it's like, you know, are you convinced yet? You know what I'm saying? How much more, you know, how much more?
Right.
I think I'm almost, it's like King Agrippa. I mean, like, you almost convinced me, Paul, right? You almost, really? Really? And so, he's fully persuaded, being fully persuaded, Abraham, that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was accredited to him for righteousness. So think about it. You can look at what's happening in life. You can take 2012 and say, well, 2013 is going to be a sad year. You can say, you know what? I'm going to recapture what God said.
That's right.
I'm going to put all the naysayers and the people who lived their life and allow their tongues to be constantly held captive by Satan to speak into your dream to cause you to try to waver. And you say, I'm not going to do it. Even if they choose to not part from Satan, then they'll have to part from you, right?
That's right.
And begin to walk with God and believe God to get thee up and go in 2013 and say, you know what? Even if I don't see it, I'm going to believe so strongly that 400 years from today, God's going to say, go get his bones. Go dig him up, because everything he believed me for, it's come to pass.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
We're family. Did you know that? God has called us to be family. We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's why we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought Jesus lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important, he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And, yo, sir. No, yo, your mom was outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is.
Mm.
Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So, you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and
yes,
we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God is has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I am so excited because we are going to have the citizenship test, where John and Pat are going to find out if, in fact, they know the answers so they can stay in America. We're getting really close. We're not going to finish this for the end of the year, so you will be able to be in America in the beginning of the last part of 2012 and 2013. Can you imagine? Like, you know, I'm going to a different country. Which one? Not this one. That's all you really know, you know.
Yeah, right.
You're sitting in a cell with like 15 people and none of you speak the same language. Y'all know hablo ese. Okay, so you're sitting here and you're fixing to be exported because you are not a citizen of America.
Mm.
Or you've come and you say you've got your visa or whatever and you're applying for citizenship. This is the test you have to take. You have to take this test. And if you pass this test as part of the, you know, other things, you're able to become an American citizen. We're finding out that we couldn't pass the test.
Cool. That's right.
And we're learning. We're finding out, oh my goodness. It's like the people that are protesting about, you're taking the Ten Commandments out. This is ungodly. I can't believe you would do this. They're praying against the people. It's like, and you pull a mic up to their faces like, okay, can you name the Ten Commandments? Well, no, but I know that it's good. It's like, okay, well, can you talk about the Constitution? And they go, the Constitution. Oh, no, the content, like what's in it, like what the Bill of Rights or anything. Oh, Bill of Rights, I heard about that somewhere. what's Bill? I don't know what his last name is, but I know he's got. He's like, you know, we know. It's like we're doing the same thing with the with God and with the country, and it's like we got to get our things right with God, and understand that that. Oh man, it's just powerful that all of our rights come from God. That's what we believe. That's our founding fathers they believe, and we got to get back to that again. So you have a 100 question citizenship test, and we're asking them like 5 at a time, and John and Pat have been, you know, humble enough to say, could you please humiliate me before the whole world?
One more time.
I like when John. I like that time when John goes, just give it up. Give up. And it's like, we don't know these things, do we? We don't know these things. It's not because, I found out why. Let me give this, you know,
that's why. To really help us out. We want to know.
It's because you guys just don't know nothing. No. It's because by the time you're 20 years old, which for us was a long time ago, they say that you've already learned everything you can learn. Mm-hmm. And so to learn new things, you have to unlearn things you knew before. So it's like we knew this one time before we were 20, and it was like, oh, I had to unlearn that because I had to find out how to drive
my hard drive was full.
Your hard drive was full. It's like, whoop, tilt.
I did this clean up.
But you've already used all of your ability to remember by the time you're 20. It's like, listen, kids, don't waste your brain on video games. Don't use up all your, you have to unlearn all that to find out, like, how do I pay these bills? Is there a button for that?
It's crashing.
Yeah. And so that could be it. I don't know. But so here we are. But we're relearning again. We're replacing other thoughts, things that we had, you know, which would be easy to do for me, not for you guys. And I've got room now to be able to take things in. I got lots of room to be able to take things in. If you get it right. You know, while you're thinking, by the way, give you time to think about, I'll ask you the question. And if you're listening right now at home and in your car, at work, whatever, you know, I'm going to give you time to think about the question. And then while you're thinking, of course, it's going to be, that's right. That means that's your thinking time. When you're ready to answer, let me know you're ready to answer. And it has to be your final answer. I mean, John likes to progress in answers. He also likes to steal. He's like, can I? No, actually, you started that, I think.
He started that bad habit, yeah.
That was so smooth, you know. I think I remember that. He's like, I can't believe didn't get that. And it's like, the one before that, he's like, I don't know nothing.
Who's this number again?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's your turn.
So then, of course, if you don't get it right, you know, of course, we're going to... That's exactly right. That's what it's going to be like. But of course, if you get it right, everybody's going to applaud you. We got 5 simple questions. Here's the first question. The first question is going to go to John. John, we need to think hard. Think very, very hard about this. Because I know that, you know, Pat says you always get the easy ones.
Oh, he does.
He's even has his door on his side. He
it's just a built-in.
And it was easy. You got easy questions. Yeah.
This is like a built-in DNA thing. It's like the default setting. You know what I'm saying? They call that talking trash, I think, on the basketball court, right?
You got a whole bunch of that.
It's amazing. It's like I never really believed that trash wasn't true. You know, I'm like, you're like, I can't believe you said that. It's like, no, this is trash. Like, I don't think that's a sin.
Yeah, you just throw it out.
You just throw it out. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like, oh my goodness. You don't think those bad thoughts about that person then? Okay, listen, 46, obviously number one for today. On the test, John, this is going to you. Obviously, this proves that you don't get the hard ones. I mean, you don't get the easy ones. Here's the question. Question for today for you, John, is what is the political party of the president now? What is the political party of the president now?
Hey, come on.
You need more time? This your final answer?
I think I got this one.
Okay, here's the question. Let me get the question. The question is, Pat's going, man, he did get a difficult one. What is the political party? I tell you this, the glory's showing right now. If you missed the first hour, you know, we're in crap pots. Anyway, what is the political party of President Obama, the now president?
Democratic Party.
Hey, that's so good. Now, you didn't Google that, did you? You didn't Google that or nothing, did you?
No, Pat was like, what is that?
I know.
Democratic Party, Pat.
He has a lot more respect now he realizes that you get difficult questions, too.
Hey, you know. If Fair is fair.
Fair is fair. And so here goes the question to Pat. This is the question. I'm not picking the questions. The questions are on the... This is the 100... He's looking like, I'm drawing up the citizenship test for the United States of America.
Well, you're changing the order.
We're Christians.
Sure.
We're Christians. We're Christians. I like to give the hard ones to John.
Yeah.
And the easy ones to you. You're just so much more funnier when it's a difficult... He just has a big blank look across his head. He's like...
I'm seeing stars.
That means it ain't gonna happen. If he goes like this, it's like it's over with. Totally over. Yeah, right. Like this, John is like up here and then down here and up here. Here's the question. This is the question. Take your time. The next question for today goes to Pat Hamilton. What is the name of the Speaker of House of Representatives? What is the name of the Speaker of the House of Representatives now? Well, that was quick. You guys are just moving right along.
Look at him.
You said the hard questions kind of come first in this test, didn't they? Because a lot of people probably left America like, there's no way I'll never get this. Like, you should have hung on. It's going to get easier.
Yeah, right.
So here's the question. This is the question for today. Final answer for you. The second one. What is the name of the Speaker of the House of Representatives?
John Boehner.
Hey! No Dill Boehner.
Plan B.
It's like, I know, Plan B. Well, I was just thinking about, we're not going to write a taxes. And it's like, come on. And
then, Plan B, not really, not really.
Yeah, I know. No, they like me. They were just thinking, no, they like me. They're not against me. It's like, did he just really say they like me? Anyway, we're not, you know, we're for Jesus.
Yeah.
John, question number next. Question number next. Mm-hmm. On the United States citizenship test done by the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services so that you can actually live where you're living legally and get a Social Security number, is there are four amendments. There are four amendments to the Constitution. It's like, uh-oh. There are four. This might be yours, Pat. I don't know.
No, it's okay. John's.
There are four amendments to the Constitution about who can vote. Describe one of them. There's four amendments to the Constitution of the United States telling us about who can vote. Describe just one of them. All right, John, here's the question. The question on the U.S. citizenship test is, there are four amendments to the Constitution about who can vote. Describe one of them.
The right of women to vote.
Hey, very good.
Wow.
Very good. And think about it, that's actually the last one. You named the very last one to come on because there's four of them. Mm-hmm. Because the first one was 18 years old or older, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the next one was, another one is, you don't have to pay to vote. That'd be something. There's a poll tax. Crazy. You had to pay money to, and they're trying to, you know. And the next one is any citizen can vote, woman or man. And the other fourth one is, all male citizens of any race can vote. So women were the last ones in America to be given the right to vote. So we're learning things, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Very interesting. That's called the suffrage movement and all mm-hmm. that was taking place. And so it's interesting. So somebody says, well, why is the Constitution important? That's a good reason why. There was a day somebody couldn't vote. Now everybody can vote. Let's just leave it like it is. So here we are. We are down to the question next. And I believe we're going to go to question number. We're on question four.
Four.
And this is going to you, John. What? No, I'm messing with you. Pat, this is going to... Pat didn't say nothing, did he? He's going to let it go. Maybe it'll slide.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all, man. Here is the next question. On the U.S. citizenship test, what is one responsibility? What is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens? What is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens?
Thank you.
Alex, can you repeat the question?
It's all the easy ones.
Yes, yes. Jeez. What is the political party of the... No, here it is. What is one responsibility, keyword, responsibility? You have a responsibility. This is something you have to do as a citizen. What is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens? Oh, here we go. This is your final answer, right?
Yeah.
What is, here's the question, what is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens?
That's probably wrong, but obey the law. I only gave one answer.
Okay. It is to serve on a jury and to vote in a federal election. It's a responsibility that many Americans don't even take that responsibility seriously. Okay. They don't even vote.
Well, I was thinking that you had to do it when you said responsibility.
Well, that would, yeah. Well, responsibility is that you need to.
You should.
Well, definitely. If you don't serve on jury duty, you can go to jail. Mm-hmm. You know, need is like, we need to actually, you don't vote, you know, because 33% of conservatives should have voted. Mm-hmm. But they say that they didn't vote and they don't vote and don't even know that they're not even registered to vote type of thing. And so we, as a responsibility, the people who take a test, they go, listen, I've got to get registered to vote. And they call me for jury duty. I got to go. Mm-hmm. And people today is going like, how do I get out of jury duty? And it's like, do only the people who have intellect and wisdom, the ones that get out of jury duty and the other ones serve on juries, like, hello, I want you on my jury. I want smart people on my jury who are going to think intellectually and prayerfully about this decision going on. Mm-hmm. And you look over there at the group in the jury, you're like, oh, no, these are the ones that couldn't get out. And it's like, it's a responsibility. Right. It's our responsibility. I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, it's a great system. I mean, it's the best system in the world. But when you actually spend some time, I mean, it's amazing. You think, their fate, their future, everything about them, life in prison, 10 years, $20,000 fines, whatever, is going to be determined by these few people, $1 million fines, by these few people who, you know, and it's like, we got to take it more seriously. That's a responsibility for us to serve. It's a right. I mean, it's not a right. It's a responsibility. And so, I mean, take it as a privilege. You know, me coming from law enforcement, they don't like us to serve on jury duty still after all these years. And it's just exciting because you get to participate in the constitutional right of that citizen to stand in the gap for them where somebody's accusing them of something. Mm-hmm. And you get to hear, like King David would hear what was going on and he'd make a decision. Solomon would do that. Well, we do that. We get to hear, you know, and determine based on the law, is this person guilty or innocent? That's like huge. That's huge. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I would encourage you, if you get called for jury duty, show up. You know, and if one of your workers get called for jury duty, don't punish them for being responsible citizens. And by showing up, find a way to fill in the gap why they're doing jury duty at your workplace, because you're saving the country that your business is in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you complain that the country's gone, but you complain because your employees are going to jury duty, he's like, come on, that's their responsibility and yours as well. And many business owners get out of jury duty because they have a business. But you think about that. So important. If you're the one being tried, wouldn't you want somebody to be there with you that was caring about, you know, justice and how things turn out? Because it used to be this way. Somebody just said you was guilty. There was no jury and there was no constitution, you know, prior to ours in America. And they would just, you'd be gone.
That's right.
And today they got to carry the evidence and present it to you in your jury. And they have to prove your guilt. They have to prove your guilt because of the Constitution and because of the amendments to the Constitution. And if they can't prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt, if it's criminal, then you are off. You're out of there. And they have to, it forces them not just to be an accuser, but they have to be a prover. They have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you did do that crime. And if they can't do it, then you as a juror would say not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You would say not guilty. And that's the way it needs to be, because the rule of law is based on, it's better to set two innocent men free than to send two guilty men free, than to send one innocent man to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the mentality today is like, send them all to jail. It's like, dude, they're not all guilty. You know, somebody just wanted to find somebody to pin this on because everybody's so upset right now. and everybody's focusing on this one person, and that's where their emotions are going, but doesn't, we don't know yet. Mm. I heard it on CNN. Have you listened to CNN over a period of time? If they were talking about you, you wouldn't believe it. And so here we are. Here's the last question. The last question on the U.S. citizenship test today goes to John. Goes to John. Here it is, John. Name one right only for United States citizen. Name one right, not responsibility, is what we talked about earlier. This is right. Name one right only for United States citizen. All right, here we go. Here it is. The last question for today on the U.S. citizenship test is, John, name one right only for United States citizens.
Right to bear arms.
What?
This is his squad.
This is so important. This is like, what rights do we have?
Second Amendment.
Well, I mean, it's not a, it's, but, you know, if you're not mentally, if you're not meant, yeah.
Take that button away from me. Right. Hold him down. This is the right to bear arms.
Well, it is a constitutional right if you're not a felon, if you are, right. But there are, you know, some things, but the test you have to take says these are the rights. Well, this is what's on the Constitution in regards to not the amendments but the Constitution, is we have the right to we have a right that's only due us and not due anybody else, is the right to vote in a federal election or to run for federal office. Mm. Yeah, it's so important. So many people complain about how things are, but they don't realize, you know what? Why don't you get you a few campaign signs, get you some brochures, and go out and start shaking hands and show us how to do it better. And if not, if you're not going to do that, get behind those who will, who stand up for what's right in this country, and don't sit there and just watch them and complain. Listen, you have the right. You can run for office. I mean, if you can run for office, you can do it. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. If you are a citizen of the United States of America, you can run for office, and you can vote if you're 18 years or older in the election coming up every single year, the federal elections every 4 years. Well, that is the end of the U.S. citizenship test. We'll be right back in a moment. John, I was invited to come, you know, speak at a particular place at this gathering, and I'm there. I'm going to begin speaking, but I wanted to be able to kind of, you know, say something funny at first. Mm-hmm. And so I was telling them about this particular man, And I'll just tell them, this is how I did it. This is what I said. So I kind of changed my voice, and this is a real kind of goofy dude, you know, and he's talking, he goes, and they're looking at me like I'm crazy, by the way. And I'm talking to them. It says, I was in this, place the other day, and was in this particular state, and they were talking, you know, about regions, you know, in the country, and, you know, called them like stupid people. You know, and I just thought that is just not right, because you shouldn't call, you know, just certain regions, you know, of the country just stupid people. And I just said it wasn't right. So when I got home, you know, I was in my house, and then I decided to go in the backyard, you know, and I wanted to be out, look for some stupid people in my backyard, right? And I locked myself out my house. And, you know, I'm trying to get back in. I can't get back in. So I go up the front door, and I'm knocking on the front door. And as I'm trying to, you know, get into the front door, nobody's in the house, and I can't get in. And the police show up. And they say, freeze. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Put your hands. I held my hands up. And they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for stupid people. And they just looked right at me with shock. Think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dead. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And fulfill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. I want to get the wisdom moment in today. The wisdom moment today is Proverbs 26:10.
It reads, like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby. Think about it. Like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or a passerby. Think about it. A passerby, somebody just passing by. When you see someone on the side of the road holding up a sign that says, we'll work for food, I mean, our hearts just really go out. You know, it really goes out and says, you know what? I really want to be able to do something for them. I want to be able to find them a work. Of course, if you do not have a place for them to work or do not know a place for them to work or have a business that you can hire them at and that type of thing, you immediately think, well, I'm just going to go ahead and provide them some finances for some food or give them some food. But even if you did, you know, wisdom says that you don't know them. You don't know who they are. They're passerbyers. They're people that are just passing by. And you would be more than likely, if to do this is to bring in harm to the others who work at your company or bring in harm to your company or yourself. So really, it's best thing to do until you get to know them is just give them some food, build a relationship, you know, provide for them in a certain way. Mm-hmm. If people say, well, I'm just going to get them a job, and your employees go, well, thank you for bringing this stranger in, mm-hmm. you know, and that, and not, you know, still take care of them, but before you integrate them into the employment place here, let's get to know them. Let's look around like on wanted posters and right. see what's happening here, you know. And when you're looking for employees, particular looking for a job, for example, and you don't have a job, there's a process you're going to go through. There's a process you're going to go through so they can get to know you and you can get to know them. If they didn't do this, this lets you know, by the way, that you're probably going to be harmed in that workplace. Mm-hmm. Or you could potentially bring harm to the workplace, because that means the next people that they're going to hire, they're not going to invest in anyway either. So you want to be able to go through a process, because wisdom says that's what you need to know. And finally, think about this. If you own your own business, you need to be careful about who you hire. There needs to be a standard process in which you get to know your applicants, and they need to be able to know you and know your business before you hire them, including, you know, asking them and asking for references and checking references. It reminds me of a particular applicant I had once when I had a particular company I was hiring for, which is a tedious process and going through that. And I remember getting an application from this one particular man and his resume that it was amazing. After interviewing all these people, his resume had everything on it. I didn't realize that anybody knew anything about our business the way that our business was. I was just totally surprised. And of course, I asked for references, and I followed up and checked the references, and I found out that all this knowledge he said he got and all these people that he said he worked for them like 1 to 2 days, and he got fired. He got fired. I mean, how important is it to listen to God's wisdom and understand, listen, this is the wisdom moment for today. Proverbs 26:10, like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.